The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. Yeah. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Actually, it's saying disc space remaining 3 hours, so it should be all right. Sweet.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. I'm Dougie Rankin and I'm joined today by
Matt Ireland.
Hello, Matt. How are you? What are you up to?
A lot better now, thank you. I would just like to apologise to our listener for the lack of podcast, but this blooming virus, obviously, anyone who heard me record with Paul on Christmas Day, I didn't even have a message saying I did quite well to get through it with my constant coughing, which I thought the editor was going to hopefully get rid of, but obviously not. I've just been, this poxy virus that seems to have been going around has just sort of, not made me feel bad, but just my throat and coughing and I even lost my voice for a week, so there's no way I could record anything. So we're just about fighting fit now. The cough is almost gone. Now we're just about into February.
Yeah, no, that's horrendous when you get something like that that just won't shift.
Yeah, oh, too right. I end up going to the pharmacy and getting some penicillin in the end because my sinuses are starting to block up, and I was just getting so fed up with it and not beating it. I was like, right, I have to get some efficient legal drugs to beat it.
How did you get penicillin? I thought you had to get that for a doctor because it's like an antibiotic.
Yeah, well, so you can go to your local pharmacy now and they can actually prescribe it, which is quite good, which I didn't realise. I just sort of went and joined the queue, gave them my symptoms and how long they'd gone on for, and he could prescribe it there and then, which is brilliant. It's because I knew I didn't need a doctor's appointment because I didn't feel sick or ill or anything, but just this constant, you know, annoying cough and cold and whatnot. And yeah, so yeah, just I've still got a little bit. I thought he said it was a 5-day course, but and I thought I'd been taking them as I was told to, but I've still seen another few left, and it was over a week ago. So yeah, so we're nearly there anyway.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Well, yeah, I mean, it's flown. Time has flown in at the start of the year. It's been a quick January. Well, as for me, I'd driven for most of January, and I drove a good part of December as well, a lot more than I had been previously. So, it's, you know what January is like. It's just a month that you want to get out of the way.
Yeah, it's normally about sort of 400 days, roughly, isn't it? It seems to have flown past for me, but equally it seems to have been quite a long month as well, which seems quite strange, really. But yeah, we're now at the very tail end of it, thankfully.
Yeah, I mean, I had to go out and do a lot of extra driving because I just did so many bills and expenses to pay out on. Remember when I was like 10 years ago when I was like self-employed freelance and driving lorries and doing all that stuff, I was looking back and just the amount of money that I was earning then was a lot less than what I do now overall. But it just went so much further.
Yeah.
The cost of everything is just through the roof. And because I'd done a reasonable bit of driving last year, I'd made a profit on my self-employed income. I hadn't bought enough stuff to avoid. I just used it for like living expenses, which I try to avoid. But then that meant the HMRC were chasing me. They wanted like, 1,300 quid up front. For the next period, because you've made profit. I don't even know how it's legal that they can ask for that. It's ludicrous. Mm. You're self-employed, aren't you?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Yeah, so do you get that, where they want a payment up front for the next period of predicted profits?
I haven't as yet, but again, perhaps it's just because I'm not earning as much as what other people do, because, you know, ultimately at the moment I'm not doing nights out and not as many hours and whatnot, so I guess perhaps it's a bit of that, maybe?
It might be because if you're more consistent, because I'd made a loss for a couple of years in a row, and then this time the HMRC said, we want 1,300 quid off you in advance because we suspect that you're going to make this much profit next time, so give us this up front.
Yeah.
And what the gits were doing as well, they were sending text messages about it, and I know other people who were getting these as well. They were sending them on Christmas Day, saying you have, and they would send them consistently saying you haven't paid your money yet. The deadline is the 31st of January, and it's like, yeah it's December.
It's Christmas Day. Just want to stay off.
Yeah, it's like the start of it's the start of January. Why should I put the money in your bank account now? Why don't I just leave it in mine until much nearer the time? But they were sending text messages even after I did pay it in advance, because I thought I'll do it just in case I forget. And they were still sending me text saying, just in case you may still have forgotten to pay. And I'm like, you in January at this time of year, they've got no business asking for this extra money. No. Nobody's got that kind of money to splash around. And they're like pressurizing people. I think it's out of order from HMRC to be sending out things like that. So
yeah.
I had that to pay. So I had to go out and do some driving work. And then I had my insurance to pay, which was gone up 250 quid. So it's sort of 1250 now for the year. So I had to get that. And then I had to pay the accountant. Then there was Christmas and a couple of other things as well. So, yeah, all the work that I've been doing, it's just been coming straight in and then going straight back out the door again.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I mean, like my little caddy van, it's tax MOT and insurance is all sort of December / January. So all of it comes at once. I've also got a multi-policy on my fleet of classic mopeds. That comes in January as well. And there's something else as well, which I can't quite think of. So all of a sudden it's just like got all these bills. But you know, I mean, I didn't stop between Christmas and New Year really, and you know, straight into the New Year. I mean, luckily, like where I am, as we've talked about before, you know, there's sugar beet and it's agricultural, so there's always something to be doing on. So although I did my little European trip for GoFetch between Christmas and New Year, but I've been doing a few Saturdays on sugar beet as well, just to make sure that the account is topped up enough.
Yeah, but I need to find somewhere up here in Scotland that I can do odd days here and there for, which I used to do sort of now and again, because it's been pretty much Shuttleworth all the time. I've been doing the milk tankers, because I'm doing my whole milk tanker test series now, because it's such a good thorough test for the truck, and I've had to invest some effort into getting to know the places and how things work with the tankers. There's a bit to know about that. But obviously with that, I'm away sort of 5-6 days at a time. So that it's a full sort of tramping commitment. But yeah, I could be doing with getting some work where I can like just do the extra day here and there for people. I'll have to go and ask around, see if anybody could use us, because that would be handy. Get to drive some different trucks as well.
Yeah.
Which is always good. But yeah, I'm glad that I did go out and do all the extra driving for those purely financial reasons, because everybody's feeling the pinch. Hauliers, I know for a fact, well, every business is feeling the pinch, because in that last budget, they went and up the employer's national insurance contributions for employees.
Yeah.
Which means that it's now costing employers more to employ people.
Yeah.
And obviously, with wages went up quite a lot in a lot of places, and drivers are all generally on good wages and everything now. And hauliers are, I tell you right now, loads of them, this is like on a knife edge this year. It's going to be very tight going forward, because a lot of them have had to invest again in stuff like the new DVS equipment, and just the price of everything from the trucks to the tyres to everything else has gone high and stayed high. And yeah, I don't see this government just to be on a different planet to the rest of us. Today in the news, they're signing off on 5 airport expansions, for extra runways at all various different airports. Heathrow's getting another runway, and there's expansions at London City, Stansted, Gatwick, which is all very strange, because you'd think it would be at odds with the insane climate net zero agenda.
Yes.
Which they're pushing so hard. They've went and canned all the North Sea oil projects as well. So they're all in the bin, which is like a 200 billion loss at a minimum. But of course, we still need the oil and gas, so we'll just buy it from Norway, who are taking out the same sea.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Right, but yeah, I mean, what a mess the government are making of everything, really. It's going to be a tricky year going forward. the price of stuff has, you'd think it's got to level out at some point, but you've seen it, you see it in the shops, everything's still going, still rising up in price. I'm like trying to buy stuff on special offer whenever I can.
Yeah.
I finally got into the Ambrosia factory shop in Devon. I got there at the right time when it was open, and I got 48 cans of rice pudding for £9.80.
And that's personally my idea of hell, because I do not like the stuff whatsoever.
But... I think it's good. I love it. It's wonderful stuff.
I should hope so. 48 cans.
You can get the budget rice pudding that all the supermarkets do, which is 25 pence a can. Yeah. And I think it's basically impossible to have... That must be the cheapest food product that you could live off on its own, pretty much. 25 pence. And I don't know, I'm like, I don't know, how is it so cheap when the price of everything else is so high?
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Because the best stuff is the deluxe rice pudding, but that's been put up, the normal price of that's like £2.30 a can. So I've only been buying it if it's on like offer at like £1.20, £1.30. But it keeps me going as a snack food, and quite often lunch or breakfast as well.
Again, it's quite a useful thing when you're tramping, tins of food like that, and various other stuff. I know it's not the best food in the world, but it's fuel to keep you going, especially when you're in a bit of a pinch and you haven't got time to actually stop and get something. Or if you end up parked up in a lay-by, you can still eat and you can have something that you actually enjoy. And I mean, generally speaking, I think a lot of trucks now have got microwaves, obviously people cookers and whatnot. It's fairly sort of standard fare now, isn't it?
Any full-size tractor unit that anybody's doing nights out in will pretty much always have a microwave in it now.
Yeah.
Even like, well, a lot of companies have retrofitted them, just fitted a big inverter.
Yeah.
So you can use a domestic microwave. And yeah, it does make a difference. I had three trucks this month and the Iveco didn't have a microwave in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you do miss it when it's not there for the convenience. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Had the gas stove with me.
Yeah,
which is a very handy thing. You couldn't do without the gas stove, that's for sure.
No, you've got to have a way of boiling the kettle.
Yeah, you do the CB app, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
How did one of the demo trucks I had a Midland CB mic in the truck, but it was just a mic on its own. There was no wire.
Yeah, Bluetooth one.
It was just. Right, so how does, and I was thinking, is that mic designed, is that for a CB radio? Or is it designed to go into your phone for that app?
It's designed for that app. So if you've got the app and you connect.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, you connect your phone to via Bluetooth to the mic. You then use it like a traditional CB mic, sort of through the app.
What I suspected it was for. I wish I'd tried it now because it was just sitting in the cab all week.
Yeah, I'm amazed there's one in there. I mean, is that somebody's left it in there or is it?
Somebody might have left it in. It was a Thomas Hardy Volvo demonstrator for the dealer, and it was just sitting in the cab. So somebody might well have left it in there.
Yeah, they're not cheap either, them things.
I was wondering that because there was no cable with it, and I thought, I wonder if it's for the app. How does that work then, that CB app?
So
do you just like leave it like switched on your phone in the background?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, personally, I found that, and it might just be the vehicles I'm in, but the Bluetooth sort of conflicts with the stereo and whatnot. So I just turn the stereo off, have Bluetooth on my phone and the mic, have them connected, and you just have the app on in the background. And it's just, you know, people come and go and chat and, so you just sort of leave it running. It seems to go through sort of, you know, fits and starts, obviously, you know, quite early in the morning. There's a lot of people on until they sort of get to delivery points or got to have a break and stuff like that. And then it sort of peters out a bit, then picks up again. But it's enjoyable. And it's just great that you can talk to your friends, well, worldwide. Not even nationwide, you know, literally around the world, as long as they're online, you can talk to them. I still think it's great.
I guess you could use that for work as well. Yeah. If you've got like a fleet of trucks all running about working and things, you could have like a group of various people from your company. So you could be like, hello, what do I do when I get here? And then the other people would hear it. So just like a WhatsApp group, but
yeah,
but with sort of live on the mic.
Yeah, rather than using your phone. So, and I'm sure that there must be companies out there using it, I would have thought. I know it costs, obviously costs a lot more than a WhatsApp group, because you can set that up for free, can't you? But yeah, there wouldn't be anything stopping.
How does it cost money to do the CB app thing?
The app is free, but to actually buy that, you've got to buy the mic. So
right, so you do need the mic for it.
You don't need the mic for it, because you can use the app and you can use the button on the app on your phone, but obviously you can't do it whilst you're driving. So
Well, I guess if you had it, your phone mounted in a holder or something, you could technically guess.
Because you can get a hands-free button for the steering wheel that you can press that will key it up. So there is that sort of way around it. So you could run it for free, just purely on the app. But yeah, if you actually invest in the mic, then it's different. I don't know whether you could connect a headset to it. Possibly, you know, I don't know anything about sort of gaming and whatnot, but you get these gamers have headsets with microphones and they talk to each other on. So whether that would work, I don't honestly don't look like, say, I'm certainly not all up with technology. People might think I am, but I'm really not. But that might work, perhaps.
I'm just having a look on eBay. Dual mic Midland CB microphone, Bluetooth hands free. On eBay, this guy, £104 plus £14 delivery from Italy.
Ooh. Yeah.
It can't be that expensive. £100 can't that, be that.
I think that's, yeah, possibly. That's, I think that's from Midland Direct, because I think they're Italian. I didn't pay that for mine, that's for certain.
For a mic?
Yeah. For a Bluetooth mic. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I wonder if you. Yeah, that's crazy. There's so much CB stuff on eBay, cheap CB stuff.
Yeah.
CBs are great. I think all trucks should have them, but no doubt if some health and safety zealot would have something to say about it. You shouldn't be using that while you're driving.
Yeah. It's funny.
That kind of stuff. But they're definitely definitely handy in certain applications, especially if you're running down like single track access roads, so you can tell if anybody else is on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one in the Arctic that I drive. I put in mostly for that reason, because like a lot of the places where I go to unload and whatnot, if there's another truck coming out, it's just useful to know, so I'll always sort of usually have it on and then have a bit of a quick chat with whoever it is sort of on the other end. But it's quite funny. I inherited a whole load of old truck magazines from the sort of mid to late 70s, sort of creeping into the early 80s. And it was interesting looking back, because this is when like the CB craze initially came over.
Yeah.
And some of the letters from people, there was some, and it was so divided. Some were like really pro it, and others like, no, we don't want this. and it was also the advent of the tachograph as well, and the artwork and the talk of what the tachos are going to do, and the change in the hours. It was amazing to look back at. It really was.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of historical stuff that kind of long forgotten now, but was incredibly important at the time.
Yeah.
Things that have been long forgotten about, like there was a restriction on driver's hours in the 80s.
Yes.
Where you couldn't do as long as what you can do now.
I think it was eight hours, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was short. It was quite a short day.
Yeah.
At the time. Of course, things were... A lot of stuff was really different then, because there was no speed limiters on trucks.
No.
Either. So, and you'd have some trucks that were set up to run on the motorway all night doing, you know, crazy speeds. And that was the way that you got the work done.
Yeah.
You know, different.
Because being on a logbook as well, that was open to manipulation.
The early tachographs were so open to manipulation as well. You could just like pull a fuse and run a wire. And,
so I've heard.
It went on for... Yeah, well, that went on for as many years as, well, the whole time that analog tachographs
been
trucks.
And some of the means and ways that people used to have to get around them was just, well, ingenious, really. But I know I upset somebody previously on the podcast tonight, because there was a letter of complaint about me discussing what people used to get up to. So I better not say.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody complained from listening to this.
Yeah, I
must have been a first time listener or something.
But maybe, yeah. I still genuinely don't know what I did to upset them. I just said that I'm glad them days are behind us. That was pretty much it. But there we go. You know, everyone's different.
Well, people used to drive in the continent, and when they were coming back over in the ferry, chuck all the taco discs into the
into the North Sea, into the drink,
into the what. the channel, yeah. Because you didn't need to provide them.
Yeah.
When you were back in the UK, which obviously that got sorted out.
Well, I remember a friend of mine who definitely remained nameless. They got stopped at the Dartford Tunnel and they'd come back in from France, I think it was, and they were. Well, they were very close in their time, let's put it like that. And this copper had a little look at the chart, and he's like, "Are you coming from Europe?" Yeah. He said, "Oh, you can do 15 hours over there, can't you?" And he thought, "Right, okay." He's like, "Yeah, you can." So, where are you going? He's like, "Oh, I'm just going to Truck World at Thurrock. I'm gonna park up there." He's like, "All right, yeah, you can carry on." Even though he was over his time, he signed it and straight up to Peterborough, ready to tip the next morning. You know, So. That was quite a short day for them. But, yeah, it's I still stand by it. I'm glad them days are gone. It's just a fool's errand, especially now, trying to manipulate stuff with digicards and whatnot. It's just there's no, nothing to be gained.
Well, you can't get around it now. The trucks are all connected to the cloud and everything anyway. You know, they're sending out software updates to the trucks sort of regularly. And any time you put your tachograph in a new one now, it's like automatically downloading data anyway. So there's really no way around any of it unless you're using somebody else's card, which days of people like altering things up the back of stuff are gone. I mean, even to the point now where calibration you can get done on if you've got a truck that's doing sort of 60 miles an hour.
Yeah,
you can get done for that now.
Yeah,
it's the days of the wild old days are sort of past us.
Yeah, and again, when you look back at it, you know, there wasn't as much traffic on the road as well, and it was. I mean, I don't think at the time we had this sort of crash for cash culture you seem to get nowadays. I could be wrong, but I don't ever remember that being a thing. They must have happened occasionally, but it seems to be an awful lot now. Whereas, obviously, a lot of people have got dash cams now and actually record these people doing it. So,
yes.
Yeah, so perhaps it did go on, but I don't ever remember hearing anybody that I ever knew have a crash for cash issue back in the day, sort of thing.
I've spoken to a few hauliers who are all camera'd up, and they've had people like run into the side of the lorries and sending letters in and doing all sorts of shady stuff like reversing the car into the back of the lorry, into the front of the lorry, and getting it in the like, mate, you're on like five different cameras.
Yeah.
And it's the people who put in the fraudulent claims like that, they don't then subsequently get prosecuted for fraud.
That's the biggest problem.
It just goes away. There's no consequences.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the biggest issue. So, if there were more severe consequences, it wouldn't happen as much, would it? But then I suppose if they go on some sort of fraudulent insurance register, they then just won't have any sort of insurance whatsoever, and they'll be driving around just chancing their arm.
Oh, well, I think there must be quite a number of people driving about with like no tax, MOT and insurance for the cost of everything now, and the fact that there's not that many police vehicles on the road.
Yeah.
And you could probably get away with it for a long time before you ever got stopped. And if you're in an old banger, then if you lose it, then so what?
Yeah.
A lot of people kind of think that way. But some of the driving on the roads is crazy. I was watching a Twitter video in the M4. It was on X, sorry, not Twitter anymore. And it was the police had T-packed a car. It was a Mercedes convertible swerving from one lane of the outside lane right to the hard shoulder all over the road. And the police had done like a rolling roadblock behind it to slow the traffic down away from it. And then they eventually stopped it. And they didn't give any information on the age of the driver. They said it did them for drug driving. And I was like, more information required. I wanted to see what kind of state they were when they got out, because they must have been completely oblivious to everything that was going on around them. I've never seen it. Like, it was every time they just about were to go and hit the barriers or something, they would just pull it back. It was some of the worst, most inebriated driving I've ever seen.
Flipping heck.
You do see a lot of curious behaviour on the roads these days.
Yeah,
you wonder this. So what are you on, or where have you got your driving licence from?
Yeah,
and is that legal?
Yeah, I mean, I've had it at least twice in the last sort of two or three weeks. People undertaking a roundabout, just coming all the way around, and then just either forcing their way in, or just carrying on oblivious, you know, in the left-hand lane with the right-hand indicator, and just going all the way around, just doing it.
Roundabouts are terrible. There was one in Wales where it was two. You could use the middle lane and the inside lane to turn right.
Yeah.
So I'm in the lorry in the middle lane. And as we're going across, of course, the cars just start cutting across.
Yeah.
Because they're and beeping their horn at me because they're thinking that they want to go into the middle lane there. And yeah. I had my hand out the window pointing at the lane nearest to the middle of the roundabout.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's the lane that you should be in, not the one that you're trying to cut across in front of me. And then yeah, they dropped back and didn't overtake me or anything after that. So I don't know if they realised they were in the wrong.
They wouldn't admit it, would they?
Well, some roundabouts do kind of spit you out.
Yeah,
in the wrong lane, it's difficult. There's the one where you come out at Chester, where you come out of the dairy at Arla. There, you loop right round it to go back the way you came on the A55, I think it is.
Yeah,
and that roundabout's got like four lanes on it, and as you go around at one point, you always end up in the wrong lane. Everybody moves across one.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It needs to be painted better because I found myself quite often like, well, this wasn't the lane that I wanted to be in. And it's weird because everybody, the traffic on the other side of you kind of pushes you across.
Yeah.
And you've just kind of got to go with it. And you're like, everybody's taking the wrong lane here.
Yeah. I mean, I have it because I do the Hardwick roundabout at King's Lynn almost every day at the moment. And every single day there's people in the wrong lane. I mean, if one of the places I load from, I come down from the north of King's Lynn to the Hardwick roundabout, the left-hand lane, and it's not only is it written on the roads, it's also clearly signposted, left-hand lane, A47 only. So I then want the second lane to the left, which will then take me straight down onto the A10 for me to head south. And the amount of vehicles that just try sit in that inside lane and then want to come straight into my lane is just absolutely shocking. And going the other way, right, come from the A10 round to head north, the amount of cars that will just go sort of straight on into the wrong lane or come around the inside of me, it's just, yeah. And again, you don't see any police about to try and enforce it. That's the frustrating thing.
No, definitely. You definitely don't see many of them these days.
No.
But I tell you what, did you get hit with that storm last week?
Yeah,
the one with the funny name. I don't know if your part of the world really got it that much, but Scotland certainly got hammered.
Yeah,
with it in
Scotland,
the north of England.
Yeah, I see some videos and photos that they got proper hammered. We had it a bit windy down here, but certainly not a patch on what everywhere else had.
Yeah, on the Friday I was up at 2 a.m. to get away to Newcastle, Emlyn, because I knew I had to beat the traffic around the M4 in South Wales.
Yeah.
And it did. The weather was crazy with the rain.
Mm.
Of course, I had mirror cams, so there was water getting on the mirror cam lens, so I couldn't see at times out of it. I had to wait for like the heater to go and burn the water off. The rain and the wind was crazy. I was glad I had a loaded tanker. You could see the guys with the curtain siders with an axle up, and you're like, yeah, you're not having a fun time.
No,
a fun time with that.
Did any of them pin their curtains back?
Some of them, I saw a couple of them had done it when I was further up towards Wales, and there was somebody in Lim attempting to do it when I nipped in there.
Yeah.
On the way back to the yard, and he was having enough trouble just trying to catch his curtain because he had them both open at the same time.
Right.
And I was like, I would have only opened one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time, yeah.
And they were like flapping, you know, they were up like wings flying up in the air, and he was trying to, and him and somebody else were trying to grab them and bring them back down again. I've never driven with curtains tied back, have you? You done that?
I have done in the past, yeah. It's been quite a long time since I've done it, but
Does it work?
Yeah, it seems to, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're eliminating a big, huge flat side, aren't you, essentially? So.
Well, people always mark out deckers for being the worst thing for that. And a decker isn't the worst thing. A normal straight frame is because the wind can get under it more.
Yeah.
A decker sits lower to the ground, so I think it's more difficult for the wind to be able to lift it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still not fun.
But, and they're generally aerodynamic at the front as well. They slope down, don't they? So
yeah.
Yeah, which would probably help. But yeah, your standard sort of 4.5 metre slabby sided curtain is probably worse, I would say.
I think they are. They're the ones that usually end up being over on their side. But yeah. It moved to like a red weather warning at that point. And yet it was pretty vicious. I hope we don't get any more of them this year. But of course, with it just being February now, we're going into
warmer weather finally.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, the first week that I was out with the trucks, we had ice and snow, but had that right cold snap.
Yeah.
And I've never seen such icy roads, like proper slippery black ice and rain, freezing rain that was immediately turned into black ice, proper treacherous conditions. And of course, Britain's just not set up for any of that kind of stuff. You know, we don't put winter tyres on, or even like, I think cars should all be fitted with all season tyres now.
Yeah.
Because they're so much better in the winter. Just for like, you know, normal cars, like running use, all seasons would be a better option. Because you've just got to put up with it, really. We're not designed, we don't get enough ice and snow to justify all the stuff, and people just can't drive in it.
Yeah.
And with the bigger tyres you get, the ultra low profile 20-inch wheels, and even on 4x4s, they'll just spin their wheels.
Yeah.
And people just put their foot flat to the floor in the ice and snow. And it's like, take it easy.
Yeah.
Light on the throttle, just enough to make it go.
Yeah.
And people are wheels spinning the hell out their BMW as it goes sailing towards the curb with a crunch.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not when in doubt, flat out. That's not the time for to be doing that.
Not for that, no. Yeah, that was a strange one with that ice. It was raining on the M65 and it was -2.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh.
this is just
was weird conditions. The M65, though, up by like Burnley, has got its own weather system. It's so high up.
Yeah,
In elevation up there, it's weird. It's colder than Scotland, that part of England, I'm telling you.
Flipping heck.
It's always absolutely freezing around that part of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which is not far from where I am now, funny enough, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right enough, because you're in Lancaster at this moment as I am talking to you.
Yeah, I am indeed. Yeah, in a nice warm hotel.
I do. What is it you're doing in Lancaster? This is a bit of a recreation.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so it's not actually anything to do with road transport and trucks, but I'm having a weekend away scuba diving. There's an old quarry just up the road at Cape and Ray, I believe it's pronounced, or Cap and Ray, one or the other. So a bunch of us have come up here for a weekend of getting in the water and going to have a look at some stuff that's been sunk in there. So there's some old planes and boats and things like that. So just a bit of a dead
bodies.
Away. Hopefully, no dead bodies. Don't particularly want to find one of them, but
so is this place like, is it just like out in the, what is it, can anybody go to it, or does somebody own it and you have to go there and tell them that you're going there? Because it sounds like,
I mean, it's just a dive center, so you just, as long as you've got
right
certifications.
I see. So it is like an organized place.
And the stuff that's in there has been intentionally cleaned and put into the water for you to go and look at or practice for, you know, wreck diving and things like that. So if you're out sort of anywhere else in the world, you can practice what you need to be doing if you're actually going inside a wreck and things like that.
Yeah, because I was just thinking that there, it's like if it was like an old abandoned quarry or something, it does not sound incredibly dangerous.
That'd be fine. But I have said it before on the podcast, because there's the one sort of closest to home for me is Gildenborough Water, and it does have an FL6 in it.
Right.
That is truck related. I've definitely said that on the podcast before. And there's a quarry, I think, in Germany, and that's got a Mercedes, not an Actros, it's got an Axor skip truck in it, I think.
I'll find that
one day.
I tell you what, I saw the FedEx, still running a Mercedes-Benz Axor.
Really?
I was surprised at that, yeah.
I actually, on my way up here, I actually overtook a Series 1, or so it'd be an MP1.
Like a P sort of R-Reg sort of thing.
That was an S-Reg.
S-Reg, yeah.
S-Reg 4x2 in silver, pulling a low loader with a Scania Next Gen on it. And I also saw an O2 plate. I've seen this one in East Anglia. I wonder if any of our listeners know it, because it's got an AV registration, which is like Suffolk where I am, but it's in like the old Van Hee colours of brown and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't understand how it's got a Suffolk sort of East Anglian registration, but this brown and yellow colour. And I saw it once around my way, and I thought perhaps some farmer's got it and it's just dragged out for sugar beet or something. But I saw it around Stoke-on-Trent today. So
an O2 plate.
O2 plate Actros. Mercedes-Benz Actros. Just I can't remember what the model was. Because obviously they had the Mega Space, and then it's just like the standard space cab.
Actros. Yeah, yeah. The Mega Space was the flat floor one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Then you got the normal Actros. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's 6x2, and I think it's had a red curtain cider on it. And, it just stuck out like a sore thumb. And I'd love to know, I saw it a couple of months ago in Norfolk, and I thought it was some farmer who just had it. But clearly not. If it's up in Stoke-on-Trent as well, it's obviously doing some distance.
No, it's not one that I've seen on my travels.
So it's 23 years old then, if it's no two plate.
Yeah, how doesn't time fly, eh?
Yeah, scary, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was 2002, good grief. I mean, yeah, if it was 2002, we were back talking about, you still had, the ERF ECX was still in production.
Yeah.
Back then, the Foden Alpha Mark II was just coming out.
Yeah, wow.
The Scania were still
on the 4 Series. Yeah, 4 Series.
The Volvo FH had just come out.
The FH... two, that would have been, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, the FH version two. Just be coming out then, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. MAN would have been on the TGA?
The TGA would have just come out then. That's correct, yeah, just replacing the...
You could have still bought a Renault Magnum brand new?
Oh yeah, well the Magnum ran up to the end of Euro 5.
Yeah.
So that would have still been a Renault.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the Volvo stuff in it then. I suppose that would have been able to get
that would have been the premium lot. Yeah.
Renault. Yeah. Premium. Mark 1 premium with a knockover 16 speed.
What about the IV? Would it have been Stralis
The Stralis came out in 2002.
So you might still possibly buy Eurotech or Eurostar.
Yeah, Eurotech or Eurostar. And of course, you forget, Seddon Atkinson in 2002 were still a going concern, and you could still get Seddon Atkinson tractor units.
So that would have been with the Iveco or the Inasa cab.
Yeah, Cummins ISME engines or just the Cursor engine. I'm not sure if you could still get that would have been the Strato, which was the normal cab, like the Eurotech.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you could still get the Strato Cruiser, which was the Eurostar, by 2002. That may have been the year that they went out. Seddon Atkinson did run up to 2006.
Right.
But they started to get very, very scarce.
Yeah,
beyond sort of 2002, you got a few of the tippers. They did a few tippers and like bin wagons and skip lorries and stuff. But I remember I was actually at Panel Commercials in Cornwall.
Yeah,
who are a well-known. They were a Seddon Atkinson dealer.
Yeah,
and they've moved on to Iveco now. They're like an Iveco service agent.
Yeah,
and that was the reason why there were a lot of Seddon Atkinsons in Cornwall, because of. Yeah, them being there and they're offering like a good quality of service. And that's why you see quite a few high power Ivecos down in that part of the world as well.
Mm.
It's because of them. But yeah, I mean, imagine that the podcast didn't exist in 2002.
No, definitely not.
definitely a lot of variety still on the go then, but because you still had the three British truck makers.
Very little internet, I guess.
You had social media and it was forums at that point.
Yeah.
You would have been on all the forums and chat rooms and
MSN chat.
Yeah, Messenger.
That's the one, MSN Messenger, but, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like mobile. You had to go into the house and connect into the phone and nobody else could use the phone while you were using it.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was the early part of the internet back then.
Yeah.
23 years ago.
Crikey.
Time really does move on.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I was sat watching a bit of Little Britain the other night, and that's from around the same time, and just watching
that. You couldn't make that today.
just mind-boggling what they sort of got away with, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like Bo Selecta was made round about that as well, and it was like highly offensive.
Yeah.
And yeah, they just didn't. They didn't care what they said.
No.
With any of that, yeah. Oh, yeah, fun, yeah. Fun times. Yeah, a lot of nostalgia for that time.
Yeah, yeah.
What would it come out with? The PlayStation 2 come out then?
Must
have been about, yeah, it was out, but yeah, because it was Grand Theft Auto Vice City had come out in 2002.
Wow, no. Is it that long ago? I loved it. Vice City was amazing. The soundtrack on it was just wonderful. We played it for hours. It's kind of, to me, as I said earlier, I've not sort of really moved along with technology, but that was sort of one of the last games that I could play for a long time. So obviously growing up through the 80s and 90s when you had like your old Segas and whatnot, and you couldn't save a game because you just didn't have the ability. There's no memory on the thing. So you'd end up playing it for hours to try and complete it. And then when the original PlayStation came out, you could still sort of do that to a degree, but you could save stuff on a memory card. And then, like, yeah, Vice City was kind of like the last sort of one for me that I could play for an awful long time. But I find I'd just go and take a car and just drive it, just listen to all the 80s music that was on it. It was just brilliant.
Yeah, it was a good game, that. I remember having them both when they came out and getting really excited when San Andreas came out in 2004.
Yeah.
Which, of course, that's 21 years ago since GTA San Andreas came out.
Wow, my goodness.
Which was like a massive leap.
Yeah.
Leap forward with things, yeah.
Heck.
I'm just looking back at that, because I had a Cavalier SRI 130 in 2002, which was from 1988. So that car would only have been 14 years old then.
Yeah.
Which sounds, that's bizarre. That is 14 years old. So the equivalent car now would be a 2010 Insignia.
Yeah,
that makes no sense whatsoever, because that Cavalier, there weren't that many of them left in 2002, and people were like, "Whoa, look at that old car, that's rare." I'm thinking it was only 14 years old at the time, so it shows you how quick those cars burned out and died off.
Yeah,
with the thieving and the rust and the stock car banger racing and everything.
I think I had a B3 Passat Estate 2-litre 16 valve in black with 16-inch Borba A wheels that were about 8 inches wide, I think it was. And that used to rip. I used to love that car. Something, I'm pretty sure that would have been around that time. That was on a G plate, so we were 1990.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my second one. I had a green one, and I've got this black one. And that was, I love that car. And you just they're a bit of a favourite of fuel smugglers, or they used to be, for the fuel smugglers from Europe into Russia. Whenever you were queuing up to get into Russia, the queue of cars, it was Passat Estates, American day vans, because these Passats had the biggest like fuel tanks on the market. So all they do is clear, get through the Russian border, pull in the very first petrol station, and actually get the wheel up on the island where the pump is, get it at a funny angle, and just brim it full, and then just drive back through, go and sell it, and then sort of go back the next day, I suppose, and do the same thing over and over again.
All those cars, you could buy them for next to nothing back then. Yeah, yeah. Nobody really wanted them.
No.
They were just scrap now, because they're worth crazy money these days.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm so nostalgic for those days back then.
Yeah.
I would happily give up my smartphone and go back to a Nokia 3210. If I could go and enjoy, go back then and get all and enjoy all the old cars, and everything
and
like
trucks.
That.
And trucks.
Vastly. I could imagine striding out in the morning to get into my Cavalier and then going away to go and getting on my brand new Ford Alfa. Happy times, for sure.
There probably still would have been a lot more European work kicking about as well, because it's kind of the tail end of when that all sort of came petered out and come to an end.
This is just before the housing boom as well. So this was before housing costs massively jumped. So you could still buy like a house up here for like, 45 grand.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like a nice house. You could buy an absolute storming, massive bungalow for £100,000.
Yeah.
Enormous. Nostalgia, man.
Yeah.
Hey. So, I mean, on that note, you got anything else you wanted to mention or cover in this here podcast?
A couple of things. My book finally came out.
Right. Awesome.
A few weeks ago, and it's been very well received so far. from what I'm told by the various people that have bought it. So if you've bought a copy, thank you very much. And I hope you've enjoyed it, as a lot of people told me they have. And if you haven't, if you want to head to Pen and Sword Publishing on the internet, speaking of which, and order a copy, there's still plenty available, as far as I'm aware. So History of Kepstow Freight, speaking of nostalgia, you know, trucking to Russia back in the, well, starting in the 80s, into the 90s and into the early 2000s. So that's been going really well. The publishers are really pleased, and that's given me a lot of scope for some more projects that are, I've got quite a few in the pipeline, and they've kind of agreed to sort of initially another two of them to start with. So I'm just making, trying to get a bit of time together to crack on with them. And also, yeah, right at the very beginning, I said about being sick, and I actually lost my voice. And the following week, I actually taught my first ADR Class 7 course for radioactives. And on the previous Monday, I literally could not talk, and I was thinking, oh, this has got to be better by the following Monday. It'll be fine. And I'm the only person qualified at Martin's driver training to actually do the course. And as it was getting closer and closer, I was like, I'm not getting much better here. I'm not getting, and I was resting my voice as much as I could, and Lemsips and Strepsils and all sorts. And I did the course, and I got through it. There was a lot of coughing. My throat was raw. It sort of improved throughout the day a bit. But, yeah, we got there in the end. Five students, five passes. So I was really pleased with that. And then, yeah, the rest of the week I had a Cat C student who was really good, and he passed everything as well first time. So, yeah, very good week off the road, sort of doing driver training, sort of classroom-based and on the road. So
happy days,
yeah.
Yeah, man of many skills.
Yeah. So we've got another Class 7 booked on the 31st of March. So if anyone should need the niche class of Class 7 added to their ADR, then I'll have a course running. Well, Martin's driver training will have the course running 31st of March in Norwich.
Fantastic. Yeah. Man of many vehicular talents. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, got to have a few, irons in the fire or feathers in your cap or whatever you want to say.
Absolutely, these days, for sure.
And I find it enjoyable as well. I've always had a bit of an interest in ADR because I'm weird, I suppose, and just sort of what's involved and some of the stuff that gets moved and how it gets moved, and just sort of a byproduct of that was like the whole nuclear thing, especially with me living so close to Sizewell Power Station as well, and having friends in the nuclear industry. It's a bit of an offshoot from that. So, yeah, I find it enjoyable.
It's good that I don't know anybody else that can teach nuclear on the ADR, the radioactives. So, interesting stuff, aren't
you? Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, going on the next few weeks, nothing too exciting, just the usual sort of sawdust during the week and maybe a little bit of sugar beet at weekends. I'm going to a huge model show in Belgium at the start of March, which I'm really looking forward to. I've been wanting to go to it for a few years, called On the Road, Jabeek, or Jaarbeke, is how the Belgians pronounce it. So off there for a long weekend. I think it's apparently like the equivalent of sort of two like sports halls full of everything you can imagine. And it's not just trucks, it's like cars. I think it's anything sort of except for planes, really, on the road as a theme. Radio controlled, right down to 1/87th scale of, cars, bikes, trucks, fantasy vehicles. So and it the photos I've seen in previous years looks amazing. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, that does sound good, aye?
Yeah, yeah. Aye. So I should certainly get a few photos for the magazine.
Yeah, I look forward to it. So that's great. So good to catch up with you.
Yeah, and you, mate.
I'm sure to do the same again soon.
Yes, hopefully.
Good luck with the diving tomorrow. Hope that all goes well. We
find
some interesting stuff in the water.
Yeah, should be good fun. Yeah.
I'm going to going back to doing some car maintenance.
Yeah.
Need to do some work on the old fleet to get it up to speed again.
Fair enough, mate.
Various things needing bits and pieces done.
A bit of TLC.
All right, well, cool. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. You take care, and we will catch you again soon.
Lovely, thanks a lot, Dougie.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tyres. Fortune Tyres and International Tyres, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltyres.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tyres.